Well, it's already been labeled the Easter storms. Of course, last Sunday was Easter, and our nation was hit by some really bad storms in the deep south and the Gulf Coast. There were supercells and large hailstones and flooding and rains. 1 million people were without power. And on Sunday and Monday, it really breaks our hearts. There were over 60 tornadoes and over 30 people lost their life. Fox News had an article about that that said this: deadly tornado slammed the deep south, flattened homes where residents were sheltering in place due to the coronavirus. I mean, think about that. There's a storm called the coronavirus, which has you sheltering in your home. Then there's a storm called a tornado, which destroys your home. Now you have nowhere to shelter. And the community emergency shelters are not open because of social distancing and trying to stop the spread of the coronavirus. Where do you go for shelter? It's like storm after storm after storm. Well, welcome to broken planet Earth. Welcome to something that we have in our shared humanity. It's called storms. Hey, we all know that storms are much more than just things like hurricanes and tornadoes. Storms are the struggles and the difficulties of life. I read an article Friday that said right now we are in three national storms in the United States: the storm of the virus, the storm of the economy, and the storm that's not talked about a lot, the storm of stress because of everything that is going on. Storms come in all shapes and all sizes. Storms can hit us from all directions, and they have all types of duration. Some storms out of nowhere hit us hard and fast, and there's other storms, they seem to just go on day after day after day. The storms are not going to end soon, and man has no shelter for the storms of life. We have to ask ourselves some questions. How do we face the storms of life? How do we face the struggles, the stress, the difficulties, the pressures of life? Where do we go for shelter? Well, I'm so excited to share today's message about an intersection because it's about an intersection in a storm. Today, we're going to see not only an intersection in a storm, but an intersection on the water, not in a boat on the water. The first time in human history, two people have an intersection on top of the water. It's Jesus and Peter walking on the water in the midst of a massive storm. And we're going to see in today's message, it speaks directly to the storms we're facing in our life, the storms we have faced and the storms we will face. I pray that we'll see together today the key to pressing on when life presses in is to focus on our Savior, not on the storm. It is so easy to focus on the storm and not focus on the Savior. The key is we need to stare at Jesus and we're in the midst of a storm. This series is called Intersection. And again, we're simply looking at some of the 40 people that Jesus met in the four Gospels. As we look at this intersection series, it teaches us more about who Jesus is and how he loves us, his mission to the world. It shows us how to grow in our faith and how to fulfill the divine purpose, the destiny, if you will, that God has for each of us. What I love about this series is that when ordinary people like you and I, when ordinary people meet Jesus, extraordinary things happen. And the change that they experience in their life is the change that we can all experience in our life. Now, today I'm going to ask you this fourth intersection message, which is entitled The Intersection in a Storm. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, I'm going to go verse by verse through verses 22 through 33, and I'm going to share five lessons for living as we go through these verses. Let's just jump in and get started. Where do we shelter in the storm? How do we face the storms of life? Jesus gives us the answer in his wonderful word. Lesson for living number one: in the storms, we experience the Lord's victories. In the storms, we experience the Lord's victories. Let's start off with verses 22 through 24. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before them to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. in verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. Look at verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. It's in the middle of a storm, tossed by the waves. That word tossed there literally means to torture. It means a severe testing. They were tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. That word contrary speaks of a strong force that is blowing in your face. Here they are in the dark. They're exhausted from rowing. It's the middle of the night. They're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. They're in the middle of a storm. The picture of this physical storm is a picture of the storms of life. There is no thrill ride in the United States of America that can compare, at any theme park, that can compare to riding in a car in India. When you ride in a car in India, in our country, if you've got oncoming traffic coming at you, and the car coming at you, if it even straddles the center line or bumps up against the center line, I mean, we freak out. Our blood pressure goes up. We honk our horns. We yell. In India, oncoming traffic is always not only straddling the line, oncoming traffic is over the line. Most of the time, oncoming traffic is in your lane coming right towards you. And then at the last second, they duck into the other lane. I mean, your heart races, especially if you're in the front seat, like in the front seat of a roller coaster, a front seat in a car in India. And what amazed me is that the drivers in India never freak out about that. They're so calm. I mean, here's a car coming right at them and they just drive. And so I asked Pastor Paul, I was riding with him one time, and I said, Paul, in the United States, if a car straddles the center line, if a car crosses over the center line coming at you, man, our blood pressure goes crazy. We honk, our eyes get great big. I said, you have cars coming right at you all the time and you're so calm. And I love his response to me. He says, Kenny, when you drive in India, you learn to expect the crazy. Expect the crazy. The road of life is not easy. No one is exempt. Expect the crazy. There are storms. It's part of living on this planet. You can say, yeah, but I have eternal life in Jesus. I should have an easy life. That's not how it works at all. Jesus told us in John 16:33, he said that in this world you will have tribulation. You know what that word tribulation means? It means pressing in on all sides. Expect the crazy. Expect the storms. Expect changes. Expect things to happen that are confusing to us, because there will be tribulations. It's hard to press on when life is pressing in. We all know that. What we need to realize is that Jesus has a purpose in the storm. Jesus allows the storm for his purpose. We may not see it or understand it all in this life, but we know that he has a purpose. The purpose of God for us in every storm is for our good, for the gospel to expand, and for the glory of God. I want you to look back at verse 22. This is really important. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go before him. Now, Jesus is all knowing. He knew there was a storm coming. Jesus is all powerful. He could have stopped the storm, but he allowed it. Jesus sent his disciples out into the storm. You hear people say sometimes, hey, the safest place to be is in the middle of God's will. I want to tell you something. There's nothing safe about being in God's will sometimes. Jesus was in the middle of God's will and he hung on a cross. They were in a boat in a storm and God allowed it. Understand that you can be in a storm and be in the midst of God's will for you and God's will for me. One of the most helpful things I ever discovered as a young Christian was about storms from a great man of faith named Dr. Warren Wiersbe. He said this: God allows storms in the life of a believer for our correction and for our perfection. There's two reasons why God allows storms in your life and my life. One is for correction. An example is Jonah. Jonah was sitting in sin, running away from God. God allowed him to go through a storm to get him back on the right path, to bring correction into his life. The second type of storm God allows is a storm of perfection. God wants to deepen our faith. God is transforming us into the image of Christ. God wants to grow us. If we respond with trust and obedience, God will grow us. There's a perfection in our life. We grow and become more like Christ. What we're looking at here in Matthew 14 is not a storm of correction. It's a storm of perfecting. God is growing the faith of the disciples. A guy by the name of Chris Adsitz, he tells the story of the people in the Serengeti Desert. They need bow and arrows to hunt, but the only bush that you can find in the Serengeti of Africa is the acacia bush, and the branches are twisted and crooked and bent. But the people there in the Serengeti have developed an ingenious way to make straight arrows. First of all, they get a stick that's the right size, right thickness. They put pegs in the ground, four pegs in the ground close to each other, and they build a fire, and they throw that bent stick on the fire. Once it gets heated just enough, they pull it out of the fire and put it between the pegs. And when the stick cools down, it's a little bit straighter. They repeat this process over and over again. They move the pegs a little bit closer, heat up the stick, put it between the pegs. It cools off. It gets straighter. Heat pegs, fire pegs, fire pegs, till eventually the last time they pull it out, the arrow is straight. It can now be used. It's useful to the master, to the one that's going to shoot it. See, in our lives, we don't like the fire and we don't like the bending. We don't like the storms. But to be useful for the master, because God knows what he's doing, he allows those storms in our life because he is perfecting us. He is getting out the gospel. He's growing us into the image of Christ. He's bringing glory to himself. If you really think about it, it's in life's valleys where sometimes we experience life's greatest victories. If those disciples had been on the shore, they would have been safe and comfortable. I'd rather be on the shore than in the storm. Who wouldn't? But if they were on the shore and not in the storm, they would never experience the power of God the way they did that day. Think if Jesus would have been on the shore instead of on the cross, the storm of the cross, you and I would never experience salvation. So our first lesson for living this intersection in the storm is in the storms we experience the Lord's victories. We've got to trust him and obey him. Lesson for living number two. Let's go down to verses 25 through 27. In the storms, Jesus is with us. In the storms, Jesus is with us. Verse 25 says, now in the fourth watch, that's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. It's middle of the night. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them in verse 27 saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. I mean, picture this. We read this. We've heard this story so often. But imagine you're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. These are experienced fishermen. This storm must be horrible because they're afraid. The waves, the wind, the rain going sideways. Your hair is wet and plastered in your face. You can't see anything. You're being tossed about. And all of a sudden, picture it. Here comes Jesus walking on top of all those massive waves in the midst of all that wind and all that rain. What an incredible sight that must have been. You might remember in 2010, there was a YouTube video that went viral. 4.5 million people watched these guys. It was incredible. The video showed them running real fast on top of the water. I mean, they were running on top of the water. Well, of course, it ended up being a hoax. They had built this little bridge right under the surface level of the water. You couldn't see. And it appeared that they were running on top of the water. But this hoax video got people thinking, what would it take for people to be able to run on top of the water? You know, some lizards and different things can do that. What would it take for humans to run on top of the water? Well, if you give a challenge, someone will try to find an answer. There were two Harvard biologists who said this. You need speed and you need power. If a human could run 67 miles per hour, and if that human had the power, the sustained power of 15 people, theoretically, you could run on top of the water. Well, that's humanly impossible because we're not going to run 67 miles per hour and we don't have the strength of 15 humans. The only way we're going to do it is a little bridge. Jesus did not run 67 miles per hour. Jesus was not walking on an underwater bridge. He is all powerful, and in the midst of the storm, he is walking on top of the water. And I am glad he does that. In this world where there are lots of storms, and in this world where people are lost in their sins, I want a God who is all powerful, who can not only walk on top of the water, but I want a God who is all powerful, who can die on a cross and come out of the grave alive to rescue me from my sins. We have that all-powerful God in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is all-powerful. We all believe that in a storm. But what can escape our notice sometimes is this all-powerful God is also the always-present God. Jesus was with them in the storm. But they thought in verse 26 he was just a ghost. I mean, they didn't really believe it was him or think it was him. When you're in a storm, the first thing you need to recognize is that Jesus is in the storm with you. When we get into a storm, the first thing we look for is an answer. Or the first thing we look for is we Google advice or an article. Or the first thing we look for is questioning why. Whenever you and I go into the storm, the first thing we need to recognize before anything else is that Jesus is in that storm with us. Just like he was right here in the text. When Jesus is in the storm with us, he speaks to us. Look at verse 27. I love verse 27. This is what Jesus says to you and I in the storms we're going through today. He said in verse 27, be of good cheer. In other words, he's saying, take heart, be courageous. He says, it is I. This is so great. In the Greek language, when Jesus says, it is I, it's a picture of Exodus 3:14, where God named himself and said, I am who I am. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am God. In the storm, he is saying, I am God. And look, he says in verse 27, do not be afraid. Let your faith be greater than your fear. What does Jesus say to you and I in the storms? He says, be of good cheer. Do not fear. God is here. That's what he's saying. I'll never leave you. Not only he speaks, but Jesus acts. We know from the same story in Mark 6:45 that it says he saw them straining at the oars. He understands. He sees everything we're going through. He knows the strain and the stress that storms bring in our life, and he cares. And he prays for us. Did you notice in this story he was on the mountain praying, and that's when he saw them in the lake? The Bible tells us in Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit prays for us. We don't even know what to pray. Tells us in Romans 8:34 that Jesus is at the right hand of God in heaven, making intercession for us, interceding for us. Storms break our hearts, but Jesus will never leave us or forsake us in the storms. Storms hurt bad. The answer to the storms of life is Jesus himself. It's the presence of the all-powerful God who will never leave us. There is no storm of virus, economy, stress, you name it. There is no storm that can separate us from our Savior. Lesson for living number three. Let's continue through these verses. Lesson for living number three. In the storm, stare at Jesus. In the storm, stare at Jesus. We're to verses 28 through 31. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. I love that Peter wants to do something great for God. He desires to be with Jesus. So he said, come. That word come in the original language is the command of a king. It's not just, OK, come. It's a king commanding someone to come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he obeyed. A storm does not relieve you or relieve me of the responsibility of obeying the word of God. Our circumstances, if the seas are still and sunny or if it is a raging storm, if God's word tells us to do something, we still obey the word of God. And I love what happens. Peter's going to walk on the water. If Jesus commands you and I to do something, he'll give us the power to do it. It says, so he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Look at verse 30. And when he saw, notice where his attention went. Peter is no longer looking at Jesus. He's now looking at the storm. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, this word means rage, fury, just incredible. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Hey, all of us in the weakness of our flesh, there are times that our faith is going to waver. I guarantee over these past 5 weeks plus, with everything going on, there have been moments of weakness in your life, in my life, when our faith wavers. That's just who we are in the weakness. Even as saved people in Christ, there are times we experience that weakness. And Jesus even said about Simon Peter, he said, you have little faith. He said Simon Peter had little faith. But you know what? I'd rather have little faith like Peter than the no faith of those guys still hunkered down in the boats not doing anything. See, we need to stare at Jesus. Like Peter, when we're in a storm, if we stare at Jesus, if we keep Jesus our focus, we, if you will, walk on water. But you know what happens in a storm? It's so hard to keep looking at Jesus, we get distracted. We start looking at the storm. We start reading all the articles and hearing all the things around us, and our minds begin to work. And we say, man, look how big those waves are, and that wind is sure blowing hard. Many times in the storm, what we do is we look at ourselves. Am I strong enough to handle this? How big is my faith? And what happens when we start looking at the storm and looking at ourselves? Here, we're in a storm, and man, we are staring at Jesus. We're walking on the water, if you will. And then we get distracted. We look at Jesus, we look at the storm. We look at Jesus, we look at ourselves. We look at Jesus, we look at the storm. And before long, all we're doing is looking at the storm, looking at the storm, looking at the storm. And welcome to a sinking life and a sinking faith. In storms, faith allows you to walk in victory. Fear will always sink you. Realize that God has it all under control and has mapped out every detail of our lives. For victory in the storm, stare at Jesus, obey God's word, and walk by faith one step at a time. Simon Peter was not sprinting. He was not doing the broad jump. He was staring at Jesus, obeying God's command to come, walking by faith one step at a time. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. We're going to get distracted. Put your eyes on Jesus. Saturate yourself with the Word of God. Keep praying. Stare at Jesus. Obey the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And keep walking by faith, church family. Keep walking by faith one step at a time. God has got this. God is in control. Lesson for living number 4. In the storm, the calm is coming. In the storm, the calm is coming. We're to verse 32. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. This word ceased does not do this verse justice. You know what this word ceased means? It means instant. In other words, when Jesus calmed the storm, it was like throwing a light switch. I want you to imagine being out in the middle of a hurricane, and in a microsecond, it's like glass. No wind, no rain, no waves. It's not like in your bathtub when you get out and the waves get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Ceased means that it went from vicious, horrible, raging storm in a snap to being totally calm. When you follow Jesus, when you know Jesus, the calm is coming. We need to be reminded of this. Jesus will calm the storm for a believer in one of three ways. There's one of three ways Jesus will calm the storm. Number one, he takes away the storm. He calms the storm. That's what he's doing in Matthew 14. Jesus has the power to take the storm away. He can just take it all away. Number two, sometimes he takes us through the storm. He calms us in the storm. He allows the storm in your life and the storm in my life to remain. Remember, he's either correcting us or perfecting us. He allows the storm to remain, but he'll take us through the storm. He'll calm us in the storm. And number three, for believers, another way he calms the storm, he takes us to heaven with him. And guess what? In heaven, there are never, ever any storms again. Jesus is the one who can calm the storm, calm us in the storm. And one of these days, we're going to an eternal calm where there's never storms again. But in this world, there are storms. You know what we need? Many times, this Jesus is the one who says to the storm, be still. It's that same verse we talked about in our video last week at Easter. We need the Lord to still us. We need to be still in the storms. Psalm 46:10 says, here is a great word for calming the storm. The calm is coming. Be still. Maybe the storm will be still. Maybe it won't. Maybe the storm will rage on, but we can be still in the storm. Be still. How? And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. God says, be still. Stop striving. Relax. Let go. Know that God is in control. Know that there's coming a day of this virus and the economy and all this stuff. It's real. It's important. But there is coming a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus throughout all eternity. And our Jesus Christ is going to be exalted. I don't know when the calm is coming in your life. I don't know when the calm is coming in this our national thing. I don't know when the calm is coming in this world full of storms. I know whenever Jesus comes back or he calls a believer home, the calm is coming. It is gone forever and ever and ever. Every single storm is temporary. The calm is coming because with Jesus, as we see in this story, he will always get you, believer, to the other shore. There's one more lesson for living. Number five, in the storm, Jesus is at work for his glory. In the storm, Jesus is at work for his glory. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Those in the, who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. I try to picture that scene, and it's so hard to do. Raging hurricane storm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus walking on the water. He says, come. Peter is walking on the water to him. Peter begins to sink. He cries, save me. Jesus rescues him. How did they get back to the boat? They walk side by side. Did Jesus carry him? The Bible doesn't tell us. But they're back in the boat. Imagine this scene. They're back in the boat and everything is calm. There's no storm. You know the only thing you see? I believe you see Peter standing by Jesus. And you see the drenched hair and the soaking wet clothes on the backs of all the disciples on their face in a boat worshiping Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if it's a storm or if it's a still time in our life. Regardless, we worship Jesus. We're like Paul and Silas in the book of Acts in that Roman dungeon in chains at midnight singing to God. Even in our pain, we praise our God. Hey, we know the truth of this story, okay? None of us want storms in our life. We don't seek storms. We avoid storms. Hear me. It is absolutely okay to ask God to take the storm away. Paul asked for the thorn in the flesh to be removed. In the garden, Jesus even prayed, dropping sweats of blood, saying, Lord, if it's your will, remove this cup from me. We don't seek storms. We want to avoid storms. It's okay to ask God to get you out of the storm. But you know what matters most? What matters most in the storm is not shelter. What matters most in the storm is not comfort. What matters most in the storm is not even surviving the storm. What matters most in our storms is that God is glorified and the gospel gets out. What matters most in our problems is that Jesus is pleased and his purpose is fulfilled upon this earth. The glory of God, the bigness of God, God being known, God being worshiped, God being honored is the reason for our existence. It's behind everything we are and everything that we do. This storm matters. We don't seek storms. We don't like storms. We don't want storms. It's okay to pray for God to take the storm away or to keep you from the storm. But what matters most in the storm is not our stuff and not our, those things are important. Please hear me. I'm not saying it's not important. It's not our stuff and it's not returning to our former schedules and it's not, will I survive this? As important as that is, it's none of those things. What matters the most in the storms we're in right now, beyond our paychecks, that's important. Beyond our health, which is huge. Beyond the stress and the issues of life. The single most important thing in a storm is the glory of God. They fell on their face and said He is Messiah. And when this world sees you and I, it doesn't make any sense. When they see you and I going through the same storm and the same pain and the same confusion and the same struggles, they don't see perfect people. They see us real people filled with weakness. But when they see you and they see me, if you will, walking with Jesus on the water, walking by faith, not in fear, trusting Him, relaxed, not striving, letting go, knowing He's got this, knowing He's in control, He's glorified. And we have no idea how God will use that for the salvation of souls. No idea. When you're in a storm, He's working everything out for His glory. Where are you with Jesus? The greatest storm, those three national storms of virus, economy, and stress, those aren't the greatest storms of all. The greatest storms of all are spiritual. It's people separated because of their sin from the God who loves them. We've all sinned, Romans 3:23, and come short of the glory of God. We just say it this way: we're not perfect. God is perfect. If you want to be accepted by God, you've got to be perfect like God. None of us are perfect like God. But Jesus is God. He's our perfection. He died on the cross. He arose from the grave. And guess what? What we just read in this story, the greatest storm is being separated from God. Jesus is the only answer to rescue you from the storm of sin and hell. But if, like Peter, by faith, if you admit your sin, and if you will cry out today, those three words, Lord, save me, like Peter did, He'll do it. I promise you. Robert Louis Stevenson, poet, author, people say that one of his favorite stories he loved to tell was the story of what we've talked about this morning, of a boat being out at sea in the middle of a horrific storm. That this storm was so bad that the ship was just being tossed sideways, couldn't keep it going straight, wind, rain, and it was being driven towards a rocky coastline, which would have totally just destroyed the entire ship. The storm was so bad that the small crew and all the passengers were actually below deck, and they had one thought running through their minds: are we going to die? Robert Louis Stevenson said there was one brave passenger who couldn't stand it any longer. He went from below deck up on deck, and he's braving this horrific storm, the rain pelting against him, the wind almost blowing him off of his feet. And he's walking towards the captain's station. The only one still on deck, on top of the deck, is the captain. This passenger, brave passenger, gets to the captain's station, and it takes all of his strength to open the door against the wind. And he steps in, drenched, wet, fear all over his face. And the door, caught by the wind, slams behind him. And he looks and he sees the back of the captain hanging on to the wheel of the ship and just slowly, slowly turning it away from the rocks. The captain heard the door slam. He knew that this frightened man was standing behind him, this passenger. And all the captain did, he turned around, he looked at him, he never said a word. All the captain did was smile. That's it. Well, this now having a greater calm passenger with a renewed strength went back below deck to the crew and the passengers, and he said, hey, everything's going to be OK. And they said to him, how do you know everything's going to be OK? The storm is horrible. And he said this, he said, I have seen the face of the captain, and he smiled at me. The storm is raging on. But believers, we can look into the face of Jesus Christ. And when you are in a storm and you know who is in control, there is no fear. Maybe the old hymn says it best. In a storm, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Let's pray.